Welcome to episode 38 of the SFDC Consultant Podcast. My name is Emmerich, and today I'm happy to share my conversation with Gaspar Rodriguez, Senior Consultant at Absolutely and co-founder of Refugee Force. We spoke about his experience in implementing Salesforce for NGOs, but we also concentrated on the brilliant work of Refugee Force. I do want to mention that the next episode, episode 39, will be a follow-up discussion where myself and Gaspar will be joined by a former student of the program. I really enjoyed this discussion as we got the chance to really get into the detail of the program. Now, enjoy my conversation with Gaspar.
My name is Gaspar Rodriguez. I am a full-time Salesforce consultant for a company in the Netherlands called Absolutely. I've been involved in the Salesforce ecosystem since 2010, so about 10 years now. And I started as an admin, what's called an accidental admin. So I had a full-time job and got involved into developing and working on Salesforce, and then became a consultant and been consulting or doing Salesforce implementations ever since.
The first thing that I want to get some insight from you. So you started about 10 years ago. And funny enough, I kind of have the same timeline. I probably started about 2010, 2011. Something along those times. My first question to you was, when you started with Salesforce, did you know, like in the first year or within the first 6 months, that this is a platform, or you ended up being an admin on a system, but it took you a few years and it took you a few Google searches and it took you a few instances of seeing other people work on this to actually realize that, holy, you know, this is a platform. I could actually get a full-time job into this industry and grow into that. What was your experience with that?
I remember very clearly having this like kind of wow moment where I was like, oh, wow, this is actually quite a powerful and flexible platform that you could be used to do anything. But most of the time I was working as a kind of a business user, right? I was creating records and I was looking at processes and providing information for the consultants, and then learning to like run reports and run dashboards and do the typical admin work. But it was pretty early on. I'd say probably within the first 1 or 2 months after we went live that I was like, wow, this is actually can be used for a lot more than the purpose that I was using it for, which was at the time grant management platform. So yeah, it kind of snapped pretty early on that it's quite a powerful platform.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, how did you know to make the jump from, I guess, admin to consultancy? Because a lot of people, the way they go, they do kind of go from admin to consultancy. But you also have people that just stick to end user clients or become senior admins, I guess, and then they manage a team because the org grows. Was it that type of circumstance that kind of pushed you out and you became got into consulting? Or was it, I guess, the challenge or the high of always having a different challenge to go through?
Yeah, it's a great question, because it was quite a difficult decision. And I was working for an NGO in Washington, D.C., so a non-governmental organization. And basically the consultants who implemented our system and that I became the admin for saw that I had picked it up quite quickly, and they asked me to come and join them to be a consultant, Salesforce consultant. But at the time, I really loved my job, my current role. I was working in grant management and I really, really liked it. And it took me some time to say, okay, well, I'm leaving this amazing team and leaving this role and kind of changing my career. When I had just gotten started, I was about 2 years into my career. And it was interesting because I had no idea what being a consultant was like. I was leaving my first job and I had no idea what it was going to entail, what kind of work it was and what kind of projects were there. And it also involved quite a large personal decision, because the consultancy I ended up working for was asking me to go move to Nairobi, Kenya, to be a consultant there. So it was not only leaving my job, but it was also, yeah, picking up my life and moving to Kenya. And yeah, I think for me, it was really about following the people and the people that were in charge of this new consultancy. They were very inspiring and very smart and very thoughtful people. And they basically convinced me that like the thing that you're doing now for this company, you could do it for 10 other companies, you know, or 10 other NGOs or 10 other social impact organizations. So yeah, that was kind of the thing for me. I was like, well, that would sound really great. So it was a difficult decision just because there were so many other considerations, but from a purely like role-based perspective, I thought, yeah, being able to work with multiple companies at the same time kind of suited me, and being able to kind of have a broader impact in that sense to help companies with their data, help them with their data management, help them with their grant management would be really interesting.
How important was it for you, the fact that you were moving into consulting for a sales partner, but you were actually doing it for within the same industry or I guess similar NGOs or kind of doing a similar thing. So that way you could actually, with each project, I guess you were just building on top of your existing experience and so on and so forth. Was that an added value to you whenever you weighed the decision to actually change the career or not?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if this consultancy would have been working for the commercial sector or had a very specific industry focus like HR or finance, then I probably wouldn't have been as interested. The fact that they only focus on NGOs and social impact organizations was quite attractive, and it allowed me to bring my limited experience, but the only experience I had working with NGOs on grants to their future customers and to future projects. So it was quite important, because once you kind of know the lingo and know how things work, then it's quite replicable in other NGOs, right? How the grant management process works. So it was definitely something I could take with me that was quite useful.
Yeah, I was going to ask about NGOs and NGOs using Salesforce. I've had a few people on the podcast that have done implementations within that sector, but I haven't actually gone into that level of detail. And I wanted to ask, whenever implementing, how tight are you in terms of available resources and time whenever doing these? I would assume that you're accessing, I think Salesforce has this program where you get like 10 free licenses or something like that, part of that as well. So I think that's a point of attraction as well. But what are the deadlines to implement like a grants management system for an NGO?
Yeah, there's quite a few different limitations. It's not just the budget. It's also the resources that are available to you where these implementations are happening. So for example, connectivity, devices, knowledge and skills, all those things that when you're implementing in London, you don't really have to think about, or you're implementing in Amsterdam. It's like, yeah, everyone has a laptop, everyone has a phone, and the Wi-Fi works. So the constraints are much different. So it's not only the budget for the project, but also the implementation constraints that have to be considered, of course, when you're designing the solution or designing the system. So the thing about Salesforce in the NGO space is that it's usually either housed inside of the business development department, so for grants, it's a very popular system for grants and grant management, or it's housed under kind of the impact measurement department. So it's gotten a lot of traction when it comes to tracking the impact that this NGO is having, tracking their beneficiaries, tracking their programs, tracking their field operations. And in an NGO, these kinds of platforms are always limited budgets, because the donors don't always see that they provide value for the organization. An NGO doesn't have the marketing budget or the sales budget or the IT budget that a commercial company has. So all of these things are always kind of spread around budgets for different programs. But it's hard to convince donors that they should really invest in this platform. I think it's gotten much easier over the last 5 years. Everyone wants to have digital efficiency and optimal digital processes and transformation. So it's a bit different than it was when I started, but it is always hard to find those resources. And even when you do get them, you are limited to the resources that the NGO has on the ground usually.
Now, the other thing I wanted to kind of switch on is the Refugee Force program that you've co-founded. Can you give me a bit of a brief introduction in terms of what that actually means? And secondly, what is the value proposition there? Who are the beneficiaries of that? And what's the outcome that you're hoping to get out of the program?
Right. So just to give you a bit of background on that. So we started Refugee Force about 2 years ago, together with a colleague at Absolutely and a different Salesforce user in our network. And we, at the time I was working, I'm still working with Absolutely. It was my first commercial job. I've always worked for the social impact space. I've always worked for NGOs in the past. And I think we were discussing what to do with our voluntary time off days. And it quickly got to like, why don't we start training refugees on Salesforce? And that idea kind of snowballed, and we started to think about what it would take and how we would find these people and who would support us and what the curriculum would look like. So we had a pilot last year, the beginning of last year, with five people, just to see, can we find asylum seekers and status holders here in the Netherlands that are unemployed, underemployed, and that they want to get into Salesforce? Because I believe that anyone can get into Salesforce, right? It doesn't matter if you have 10 years in HR or finance or sales and you've never worked with a platform before. I think if you're curious and you're motivated and you have a good training, you can get into it if you really want to, and you can become either a consultant or a developer or an admin. So with that belief, I think we looked at quite a large problem here that is really a European problem at this point. And we looked at why there are so many asylum seekers who are taking jobs that are way below their past qualifications and their background. So we have engineers and doctors, you know, working in part-time roles that are low-skilled and low-paid. And there's a lot of difficulties there. And one of them is about credentials. So sometimes we found that your computer science degree, for example, from University of Damascus is not recognized by the Dutch education system, right? So that's quite a difficult proposition for someone who is seeking asylum and or has even been granted asylum, is do they study another 2 or 3 years just to get the same credential here, or do they just get a job so they can become financially independent? So that's one problem. And I think the other problem is that there was not enough skills in the tech sector and programs in the tech sector that were really catering towards asylum seekers and looking for them and helping them upskill and reskill. So we, coupled with that, we looked at the growth of Salesforce. We know that it's growing in Northern Europe, in Central Europe, Southern Europe, and we know there's a lot of investment happening. And so we kind of wanted to get behind that wave and say, okay, let's bring new skills, more diversity, you know, people who are looking for a different approach to their career or to switch their career to tech, and try to get them upskilled and reskilled into the Salesforce platform. So that's what we did. And so far we've completed 3 cohorts. We're currently in our 4th cohort, and we have about 43 alumni that have completed the program. We have 20 right now in the current program. And it's very much a technical skills training focused on admin curriculum, as well as professional performance training that is focused on preparing your CV and LinkedIn and interview skills. And then another big component is getting them involved with the Salesforce network, the Salesforce community, getting them to go to Salesforce Saturdays and meetups and kind of building their professional network that way. And when those things come together, we have a really good chance of getting them employed. And so far, we've created about 14 full-time or part-time Salesforce roles from the alumni core group. And they've gone from knowing nothing into Salesforce to being Salesforce consultants and Salesforce admins. So yeah, that's the program so far. And we're working with Salesforce, and we're working with local recruitment partners and local companies to provide more of the hiring process. But the core of Refugee Force is really that upskilling and training component.
The other thing I wanted to ask, relating to Refugee Force, what would you see are some skills, let's just call them, that you have a simple conversation with someone and you just know that this person will be a good admin or this person will be a good consultant? Is that obvious at first sight, or is that something that as an individual you grow into? Is that something that you build?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm sure there's lots of different theories around what makes someone good at a platform like Salesforce. But for us, you know, being a small and young organization, we had to make a lot of our recruitment efforts in the beginning just based on a lot of gut feeling, as you mentioned, like a lot of intangible things. And I do think that those are the really good indicators of a good Salesforce admin. For example, curiosity. Are they curious about how it works? Do they want to look under the hood? You know, do they ask follow-up questions about, you know, what's this and what's that, and how are those things working together, and what happens when I click here, you know? So I think just that natural curiosity to kind of look a bit further into how things might work under the hood, I think is a really good trait that makes someone really successful in our program. And the other one is resourcefulness. I think we look for that quite a bit. We, you know, these applicants come from incredibly difficult situations, and they've worked so hard to get to the point where they are, and they've had to make they've had to adapt, and they've had to make a lot of different difficult decisions, and just to try to get themselves to a point where they can even apply to this program, right? And they are incredibly resourceful people, and they have really strong networks, and they will do whatever it takes to learn something new. And I think that resourcefulness to ask questions, to get out there, to find, you know, your way around, is a really good characteristic for an admin as well. Instead of just, you know, sitting back and trying to figure it out yourself, you need to kind of ask the community or ask Google, or, you know, be resourceful and try to get a solution. And then the third one is, yeah, just motivation to say, like, yeah, I see myself in this role. You know, I see myself as an admin. I see myself working with this platform day to day. I'm motivated to crash and burn if that's what it takes. And they're motivated to really do it day to day. And I think that's hard to find with some people, because especially if you're explaining it as a new thing, they might not know what the day to day looks like. And it's hard to explain it without a real office environment, without having a real team or like real solutions that you have to build. So we do try to find, okay, are these people actually motivated to spend, you know, 8 hours a day behind Salesforce helping users, solving problems, even with the things that aren't so glamorous, of course, but that they're, yeah, that they're just motivated. So yeah, those are the three things that I think we really look for. And we see that in the ones who have been most successful, that those traits really come out.
In case people want to read about that, see what you've done, what's the best place for people to find some more information about our refugee force and what you've done up to this point?
Yeah, thank you. Well, thank you for allowing me to share the story and talk about the program. If people want to find information, the most up-to-date is on LinkedIn. So if you search for us on LinkedIn, if not, you can also go to refugeeforce.com and there's information on our website. And we're always looking for new applicants as well as new recruitment partners to help the people who go through the program find a job in the Salesforce ecosystem. There's also opportunities for volunteering, so people can become guest trainers. So if you really like sharing settings and you want to teach a whole topic session on sharing settings, then you're welcome to reach out. And then we also have mentorship opportunities. As part of our program, we pair them up with a mentor. So if you would like to be a Salesforce mentor, then you can also shoot us a message on LinkedIn or on our website.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoyed the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.